Okay, so from sleek smartphones
Yeah.
to like that trusty coffee
Yeah,
maker, we're
yeah.
surrounded by
Right.
amazingly reliable gadgets these days.
Absolutely.
But have you ever like stopped to think about how they're made so well and so affordably?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, so get ready to dive into like
Yeah.
this hidden world that makes all that possible.
Right.
Injection molding cooling systems.
Yes.
We've got all your research notes and diagrams, even some
Fun.
anecdotes you shared.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to unpack how these cooling systems work
Okay.
and why they're so crucial to the quality and the speed of manufacturing those everyday items that we rely on.
Yeah, they're really the unsung heroes of
Totally.
modern manufacturing.
Yeah.
Most people, they never even think about them.
Right.
But without efficient cooling, like all those gadgets, you rely on,
Yeah.
they just wouldn't exist
Right.
as we know them.
Okay, so let's break down how these systems actually work. I was really struck by the analogy in one of your sources that was describing cooling channels as like the veins of the mold.
It's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
So like veins, these channels, they're carefully machined into the mold itself,
Okay.
and they carry coolant, usually water or oil, throughout the structure of the mold.
So it's their job to absorb all that intense heat
Exactly.
that's generated by the plastic
Yep.
as it's injected and it starts to solidify.
Right. So it's not just about pumping in as much coolant as possible.
Right. So it's not just like
It's really about
blasting it with cold.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to be
I noticed in your notes that you had mentioned a project where uneven cooling caused a batch of products to warp.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Costly mistake.
Yeah, I bet.
It really highlights why the layout of these channels is so important. It's like think of it like a network of roadways, and those roadways are designed to distribute traffic evenly.
Gotcha.
If one channel is too small or it's positioned the wrong way,
Yeah.
you get bottlenecks,
Yeah.
areas where that heat just can't escape quickly enough.
So
And that leads to
uneven cooling.
uneven cooling, warping.
Right. And then that could even like.
It can weaken the plastic's structure.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a really delicate balancing act.
Yeah, I was about to say bigger channels must always mean better cooling.
Right.
But now I see how that could actually backfire.
It definitely can.
Oh.
While larger channels let more coolant flow through,
Yeah.
they also mean you got to remove more material from the mold itself.
Ah, okay.
And that can weaken the mold,
Gotcha.
make it more likely to crack or wear out too soon.
Interesting.
It's a constant challenge for engineers to find that balance
Right.
between cooling and mold strength.
So it's not just as simple as like drilling some holes and flooding the mold with coolant.
No, not at all.
You've also got these temperature control units, or TCUs, mentioned all over your research.
Right, the TCUs.
What role do they play in all this?
The TCU is like the conductor of this
Yeah.
whole cooling orchestra.
Right?
It's making sure that every instrument is in tune.
I like that.
It precisely regulates the temperature of the coolant, so it's like a sophisticated thermostat for the mold.
Gotcha.
If the coolant's too hot, the plastic cools too slowly,
Yeah.
and you get imperfections, weak spots.
Right.
But if it's too cold,
Okay.
you risk shocking the plastic,
Oh, wow.
which can cause it to crack or become brittle.
It's amazing how much a small temperature fluctuation
Yeah.
can impact the final product.
It's true.
One of your sources mentioned a whole batch that was ruined
Oh, yeah.
because of just a tiny TCU miscalibration.
Yeah, that happens.
Wow.
Precise temperature control is really the key
Okay.
in injection molding.
Gotcha.
And it's not just the TCU, you also have these flow regulators,
Right.
which make sure that the coolant is evenly distributed
Yep.
throughout all the channels, and pressure sensors, which monitor the system
Okay.
for any
Anomalies.
anomalies, problems, anything like that.
Wow, it's really this whole hidden world of precision engineering that we
Yes.
just take for granted
Yeah, pretty much.
every time we pick up like a plastic product.
Right.
But speaking of speed,
Yes.
you also highlighted cooling time as being a really major factor in our.
Absolutely. Cooling time is a big chunk of the total cycle time for injection molding,
Yeah.
which is, the time it takes to make one complete part.
Right.
And if you optimize the cooling process, even shaving off a few seconds, it
Okay.
can really boost production efficiency.
You mentioned a real-world example in your notes about shrinking the cooling time from a range of like 30 to 60 seconds down to just 10 to 20 seconds. For products that have a typical thickness of like 3 to 5 millimeters.
No, that was a big improvement.
Yeah, that's a huge improvement.
It is, and that's where you really see the ingenuity of these systems. It's not just cooling things down quickly. It's doing it in a way that maintains the quality and doesn't stress the mold too much.
I can see why you find this so captivating.
It's a fascinating area.
It's this blend of like science and engineering and I guess even like a little bit of artistry
In a way,
to design these systems so that they're at maximum efficiency without compromising
It's a tough challenge.
the integrity of the whole process.
Yeah, so we've covered the channels, the TCUs, optimizing cooling time,
Right.
but what about the impact on the product itself?
Yeah, that's what I really want to get into.
That's where it gets even more interesting.
All right, you got me hooked. Let's dive into that in part two.
Sounds good.
All right, so welcome back to our deep dive into the world of injection molding cooling systems.
It's great to be back.
You were about to tell us how all of this impacts the products we use every day.
Right. Yeah. So we talked about like how these systems work, you know, the channels, the TCUs, even cooling, all that. But the big thing is like why all this matters so much.
Right, exactly. It's one thing to understand like all the mechanics of it, but I want to know how it impacts the quality, like the durability, even like the design possibilities of the products themselves.
Okay, so let's start with the most obvious,
I
preventing defects.
Right.
Remember that warped plastic shelf you mentioned?
Oh yeah.
That's what happens when you don't have even cooling.
Okay.
Those areas that cool too quickly, they shrink faster,
Right.
and that creates internal stresses that can like warp
Yeah.
or even crack the plastic.
So it's not just about like the look of it. It's got to be strong too.
It's about making sure that the product is structurally sound.
Okay.
And it goes even deeper than that.
Oh, really?
Proper cooling actually affects the material's physical properties too.
Interesting.
So, for example, you've got some plastics like polyamide or PA,
Okay.
which is used in tons of stuff, gears, car parts, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And PA needs to be cooled
Okay.
at a very specific rate
To get
to get that strength and what's called crystallinity.
crystalline. Okay. I'm guessing that's not about making the plastic sparkle.
No, not quite. No,
All right.
it's about how the molecules inside the plastic are arranged.
Okay.
So a more crystalline structure means you get a stronger,
Yeah.
more rigid material.
So they're actually like manipulating it at a
Exactly.
molecular level.
Yeah, by controlling that cooling process,
Wow.
manufacturers can basically fine-tune those properties to
To
match.
match what they need.
Exactly, to match what the product needs to do.
Wow, that's incredible.
And that's just the beginning. The
Yeah.
really cool thing is you
Right.
have all these different types of cooling systems
Okay.
that have different advantages and they're good for different things.
Gotcha. And you know, in my research, I specifically asked about conformal cooling.
Right, conformal cooling.
It seems like it's kind of the gold standard,
In a lot of ways,
but it also seems more complex
It is
and expensive.
more
So
expensive.
what are the trade-offs there?
Okay, so conformal cooling is like imagine giving the mold
Okay.
a custom-tailored cooling jacket.
Interesting.
So instead of just using straight channels, you've got these conformal cooling channels
Okay.
that are designed to follow the contours of the part exactly.
Okay.
They can wrap around all the features, even internal cavities,
So that allows for,
much more targeted
yeah,
and efficient cooling.
that's got to be a game changer, right?
It is, especially for like,
For complex parts with intricate shapes, you can drastically cut down cooling times, minimize warping, and you get much more precise parts
And that's really important
for things like medical devices, automotive components.
where it's going to be super precise.
Exactly, where you need that high structural integrity.
So conformal cooling is kind of like the high performance sports car
Yeah, I like that
of
analogy.
cooling systems.
But you're right, it's not always practical. There's a reason not every mold uses it. The big one is cost.
Makes sense.
Designing and making these intricate channels, you need specialized software, 3D printing to make the inserts. And often more expensive mold materials
Because it's
to
got
handle
that.
all that complex geometry. So it's a balancing act.
Like everything else in engineering, right?
Exactly.
Weighing the benefits.
against the cost.
For high volume production
okay.
of complex parts, it's worth it.
Okay.
You save money in the long run.
Right.
But for simpler designs,
right.
lower production volumes,
okay.
other methods might be better.
So what are some of these alternative approaches?
Well, you've got external cooling methods.
Okay.
They cool from the outside.
Instead of just relying on...
Right. Instead of just using internal channels.
Okay.
One common one is using cooling plates.
All right.
These are metal plates
uh-huh.
with channels for coolant.
Yeah.
And they're clamped onto the mold.
So it's kind of like sandwiching the mold.
Exactly. You got it.
Between these plates.
And they pull heat away from the mold.
Gotcha.
Help the plastic solidify faster.
Okay.
And more evenly.
So this is often used like in conjunction with internal channels?
It can be.
To give it even more cooling power.
Right. Or for molds where it's just too hard
yeah.
to put those complex internal channels in.
It seems like there's this whole toolbox of cooling techniques that they can use.
A whole toolbox.
Depending on the product.
Yeah. And the goals.
Okay.
We haven't even talked about some of the more specialized methods.
Right.
Like baffle cooling.
Yeah. That sounded really interesting to me.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like a way to... like
yeah.
trick the plastic into cooling more evenly.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
So baffle cooling is all about controlling
mm-hmm.
the flow of the molten plastic
okay.
inside the mold.
Right.
So you strategically place these barriers, these baffles,
mm-hmm.
inside the mold.
Okay.
And that redirects the flow.
So you're making sure it spreads out evenly.
Yep, and cools more consistently.
So instead of just cooling the mold,
right.
you're controlling how the heat moves inside the plastic itself.
Exactly. It's like, imagine you're controlling a river.
Okay.
You're putting in dams, mm-hmm. channels to make sure the water flows evenly.
Right, right.
That's kind of what baffle cooling is doing.
So that's really useful for...
molds with like
yeah.
long, thin sections
right.
where it's hard to get even cooling with the normal methods.
It sounds like baffle cooling requires like
yeah.
a really deep understanding.
Yeah, you need to understand.
Fluid dynamics.
Fluid dynamics.
And heat transfer.
Absolutely.
Wow. And then you mentioned even more advanced techniques.
Right.
Like high pressure water jets
mm-hmm.
or even cryogenic cooling with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, those are pretty specialized.
Wow. Liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
That sounds intense. What kind of products would need that?
Think really cutting edge stuff.
Okay.
Like parts with incredibly intricate shapes
mm-hmm.
or materials that melt at super high temperatures.
Right.
It's really pushing the boundaries
right, right.
of what you can do with injection molding.
It's amazing how cooling technology is constantly
yeah.
evolving
it
to meet all these demands
yeah.
of these complex manufacturing processes.
It's really incredible.
So we've covered a lot impact on product quality, yeah. different types of systems.
Yep.
But how do they actually decide?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Which approach is best?
That's what we're going to get into next.
All right. So welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into these injection molding cooling systems.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating journey.
We've explored like how these systems actually work, all the different types,
right.
and how they impact the quality of the products.
Absolutely.
Now, the big question, how do manufacturers actually choose the right cooling system?
That's the key.
For their needs.
It's a big decision.
It seems like there are so many things to consider.
A lot of factors.
So let's break those down.
Okay.
What are the key things that they're looking at?
All right. So first off, they got to look at the mold itself.
Okay.
How complex is it?
Yeah.
We talked about those intricate designs with like the fine details,
mm-hmm.
sharp corners, deep cavities.
Yeah.
Those often need more sophisticated cooling. Conformal cooling is usually the best choice in those cases.
Right, because it can, kind of.
It hugs those contours.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets into all those nooks and crannies.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
You know, a hammer's not going to cut it
yep.
when you need, like, a scalpel.
Right.
But it's not just about, like, the shape of the mold.
No, you also got to consider...
You got to think about the plastic itself.
The material, yeah.
Okay.
The different plastics have different thermal properties.
Okay, so that means...
They conduct heat differently.
Oh,
they
yeah.
solidify at different rates.
So if a material holds on to the heat more...
Yes.
It's going to need a more aggressive...
More aggressive cooling, exactly.
Approach.
Like you take those engineering grade plastics, like PA, known for their strength, heat resistance.
Yeah.
They need really precise temperature control during cooling.
To get
those properties just right. You know, the crystallinity, the mechanical properties.
So it's not just about cooling it down.
No.
It's about cooling it down.
It's about controlling that process very carefully.
In the right way.
Exactly.
What other factors?
You also have to consider...
Come into play.
Production volume.
Okay.
How many parts were you making?
So for like high volume?
High volume production, where speed is everything.
Yeah.
They're going to invest in those more advanced cooling systems.
Okay.
To keep those cycle times down.
Right, because even saving a few seconds...
A few seconds per cycle.
Can make a big difference.
Adds up to a lot of parts.
Over time.
Exactly.
So it's all about, like...
It's a balancing act.
That's speed, quality.
Cost and cost. You got it.
And speaking of cost...
Yeah.
You know, we talked about how conformal cooling is more expensive.
It is.
So are there times when it's like a must-have?
Oh, yes.
Even though it costs more?
Absolutely. For products that need like really tight tolerances, you know, really strong, specific surface finishes, conformal cooling is the way to go. Yeah. The improved quality, you get fewer rejects.
Right.
They can make up for that cost.
Especially for like...
High-value products.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, imagine you're buying a car.
Okay.
You get a high-performance engine.
Yeah.
It costs more up front.
Uh-huh.
But you get better fuel efficiency.
Right.
Smoother ride.
I got it.
And then there's sustainability.
Oh, right.
Some cooling systems are just more efficient.
Okay.
With energy.
Makes sense.
You know, everybody's thinking about the environment.
Yeah.
And manufacturers are looking for those eco-friendly solutions.
So it's not just about making, like, the best product.
Yeah.
It's about making it...
In the best way.
In the best way.
For the planet.
Right, exactly.
It's a holistic approach.
Yeah.
You got to think about the whole life cycle.
From start to finish.
From the materials to how you dispose of it.
It's amazing how something as simple as cooling.
It's true.
Plays such a big role.
Huge role.
In all of this.
It really does.
So as we wrap up.
Yeah.
What's like the one key takeaway?
The one thing to remember.
About injection molding cooling systems.
Don't underestimate them.
Okay.
They're not just an afterthought.
Yeah.
They're essential.
They're the unsung heroes.
You got it.
Of modern manufacturing.
They're the reason we have all these great products.
All these high quality products.
Affordable.
Yeah.
That make our lives better.
It's true. I think this deep dive has given me like a whole new appreciation.
I'm glad to hear that.
For all those everyday things I usually take for granted.
Right.
I'll be thinking about those cooling systems.
I bet you will.
Every time I pick up my phone or use my coffee maker.
That's what makes these deep dives so fun.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
start to see.
Uncovering the hidden.
The hidden world.
Complexity.
That's behind everything.
Behind every. Well said.
All right. Well, on that note.
Yeah.
We'll bring this exploration.
To a close.
To a close.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this journey.
I hope so.
Into the fascinating world.
It is fascinating.
Of injection molding cooling systems.
It really is.
Until next time. Keep exploring. Keep learning.
Keep asking questions.
And never stop questioning the hows and whys.
Exactly.
Behind the things that shape our world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.